Shalom Aleichem and welcome in. So good to see everybody. Our third chance for the week to study. Shalom Aleichem. To talk a little bit of Parshas Vayikra. As we've been saw Tuesday night, the Parshas Vayikra is so full of details. Very rich. Karbanos in general, Parshas Vayikra in particular. So rich with the psukim, so much richness of detail in the Torah Shebichsav. As we began to see Tuesday night, I want to continue to look at making sure that we recognize that when there's richness of detail in terms of practice in the Chumash, that's an invitation both to know more about the dinim and how we practice the dinim, and also at the same time that richness of detail brings us to deep machshava and to deep ideas. And to notice that the richness of detail and minutia does not mean no themes. Adrabba, there's so many halachas that we learn from every detail, and there's so much machshava and thought and inspiration that we draw from every detail. On Tuesday night, we had a chance to take a look at the Ramban, a brief Ramban about some of the details of Karbanov. There is a din that appears in, or I should say, a Devar Musar that appears in a halachic context that's tied to this week's Seder. And doesn't seem so seasonal, but in Hilchos Yom Kippur, you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you open up a Mishnah Berurah. In between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the halachas of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Here we are, Siman Tav Reish Gimel. Shulchan Aruch has two simanim about Aseres Yemei Tshuva. In Tav Reish Beis, Tav Reish Gimel. And Siman Tav Reish Gimel, the Ramah, and Ramah tells us, of course, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that you need to work on doing tshuva and to be proactive about seeking to see how he can improve himself. And then, the Ramah, very fascinating, the Ramah, after saying, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you got to work on tshuva, and the Mishnah Berurah goes on to talk about the importance of learning Sifrei Musar, even if a Jew doesn't yet learn Sifrei Musar all year long, but at the very least, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the Ramah sort of ends with a Dvar Musar. It's like this, almost like this is the paradigmatic Musar Shmus. The paradigmatic Dvar Musar, the example of the sort of idea that a Jew ought to chew over and mull over the course of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the truth is, any time that a Jew wants to work on self-improvement, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah of tshuva, mitzvah d'oraisa, the Rambam counts of self-improvement all year long. And the Dvar Musar, the official paradigmatic Dvar Musar the Ramah gives us, Siman Tav Reish Gimel, is from this week's Parsha. In the midst of all the nitty-gritty detail comes the ultimate inspiring idea. The Ramah quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is famous to many of us for the Sefer Musar that he wrote, the classic Shari Tshuva. He also wrote on several Masechtas of Shas, and particularly his writings on that surround the Rif on Brachos are a rich mix of Halacha and Lamdas and Machshava and Musar. And the Ramah quotes the following idea. He says, over the course of this week's Seder, over the course of Parshas Vayikra, so we hear about a variety of types of Karbanos, categories. The Karban Ola and the Karban Shlamim, the Karban Chatas, the Karban Mincha, the Karban Asham. Again, within each category, you have subcategories and different flavors and variations, different types of animals and birds. Those are basic categories. And of those categories, the Ola, the Mincha, the Shlamim, the Chatas, and the Asham, so the Chatas and Asham in particular obviously share a common thread in being the two Karbanos that we associate with Chet. The two Karbanos that we associate the most with responding to, I made a mistake, I did an Avera, I did something wrong, and the response is going to involve a Karban. Typically, either a Karban Chatas or a Karban Asher. And usually when you figure out, you know, which carbon do I need to bring? Is it a chatos or a rasham? So it usually has to do with which sort of avera I did. There are certain categories, the one list of averas for which the response is a carbon chatos, typically those averas which would normally draw a chiv kares, and there's a different list, a short list of averas at the end of the parsha that call for an asham. And the Ramban, there's a Ramban, we're not going to look at that now, but there's a beautiful Ramban who talks about why these averas call for chatos and those averas call for asham. Ramban develops a theory, the other later svarim develop theories also. But the Ramah, Kohen Rabbi Yonah, points out that there's one situation in which the same Avera gets either Chatas or an Asham. Because the din is, one of the Ashamos is, most of the Ashamos have to do with responding to a particular Avera, but there's, of the six Ashamos that we recite regularly in Isaiah Makamon, one of the six is called the Asham Tali. They're all brought the same way, but one of the six reasons to bring a carbon Asham is Asham Tali. It's an asham that's in abeyance. Asham that's hanging. What do you mean hanging? So the Tanam explained, based on the psukim in Chumash, that one type of asham is where a Jew is not sure whether or not he sinned. There's, if a Jew did, there's a list that we said before, a list of averas for which, if I know I violated that avera b'shogeg, inadvertently, I would bring a carbon chatas. So the Torah goes on to say, well, if I'm not sure whether or not I violated that Avera, then instead of bringing the Chatas, I bring an Asham. So for instance, the classic example Tanam discussed, if a Jew accidentally, inadvertently, picks up a piece of the Chelev from the hindquarters of the animal, he thought it was kosher and he ate it, it turns out that in fact it was not. So he brings a carbon chatas. He ate chelev b'shogig, you bring a carbon chatas. But how about if you're not even sure if you ate chelev b'shogig? Meaning, I thought all these pieces of meat on the table were kosher, two pieces of meat on the table. I thought they were both kosher, I picked up one and I ate it. And the other one got tossed in the garbage. And now it turns out that one of those two was treif, and the other one was kosher. One was chelev, the other was kosher. I'm not even sure which one I ate. So I thought it was kosher. Now, it might be that I violated the Avera B'Shogeg. If I knew that I violated Avera B'Shogeg, carbon chatas. Not sure, suffix, carbon asham. Asham, taloi. Okay. So here we're looking at the same type of Avera. If it turns out I definitely violated Avera, chatas. Not sure if I violated Avera, asham. If that's all you know, that for the vada you bring a chatas, and for the safek, you bring an asham. So which carbon do you think is more, packs more punch? Which is going to require more sacrifice from me? The chatas, which I bring for a vaday, or the asham, which I bring for a mere safek? Which would you think requires more from me? So Josh knows the answer. He says the asham. So I would have thought, not knowing, Josh is a step ahead of me. So I would have thought, the carbon chatas. I know for sure I did that there. Bring a carbon chatas. Not even sure if he did that there. So then Amir Asham. Yeah. Oh, Gevaldik, right, exactly. So Josh tells us, that Rabbeinu Yonah teaches us, this is the official Dvar Musar that the Ramah has, that even though you would have thought Bashkafer Rishona that the Vaday Avera requires more than the Suffolk Avera, that's true on a certain level. Halachically speaking, it's true, but psychologically speaking, it's not. That's the Rainier says, because in fact, there's no minimum cost for the animal you bring as a carbon chatas. You buy a fine animal cheap, you can bring, if you got a good deal, you got a promo code, on a cheap animal, you can bring the carbon chatas. But the asham has a minimum price. You got to pay at least shtei kesef. There's a certain minimum threshold of financial sacrifice that I am making to bring the carbon asham. The Ben Yonah points out, it's shocking. So how come the avad, the suffix is more expensive than the vada? And what he says is essentially what Josh said. That although, again, halachically speaking, there's less, potentially less to do tshuva for, But there's a psychological pitfall here that I can always be more rehatur. I say, well, you know, it's so much harder to face the reality. In other words, at a certain point, you gotta recognize, I did, if it's a vada echet, it turns out the way it was treif. I look at a certain point, I may try to deny it, you know, but at a certain point, I look in the mirror and say, look, I made a mistake. I was negligent, I slipped up, I messed up. I need to fix my system so it doesn't happen next time. I'll do tshuva. But when it's a suffix, whether I even did anything wrong or not, so then I have an out. I say, well, maybe it wasn't really treif anyways, even though the negligence was still there. So when there's that out, that's where a Jew, ironically, you need to more investment, more self-sacrifice. If I'm going to get easy, cheap carbon, it's not going to have the impact that I need, particularly when it's a suffix aver. And that idea, it's fascinating that the Ramah chose this din from Parshas Vayikra to be the paradigm of a Dvar Musar. Again, as I said before, Bechalal is fascinating. We think of Vayikra as being so technical, and the Ramah is reminding us, technical and profound and inspirational go hand in hand. They're not mutually exclusive. Adrava, there's more detail, I mean there's more richness in which I can find meaning. But the question, but why is it the example? What's so fundamental about this? I think that the point that Josh made, which is the point Rabbi Yonah is making, to recognize that if I can rationalize, it's going to be a lot harder to change and to grow. The rationalization can be one of the greatest hurdles to ongoing growth. So that's a very powerful idea. One example of it is the minimum cost of the Ashram Talib. You know, the Mesil Susharm, the largest chapter of Mesil Susharm is dedicated to this topic. The 11th Perek, Pirtei Hanikias, is dedicated to this. To this recognition that after I have the basic building blocks in place, sort of a basic yira and ava, there's an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an awareness of the value and significance of life and the mission they have, and an enthusiasm for it, a yira and an ava, or as Mesil Sharm calls it, a zahiris and a zrizis. So once the basic perspective and the spiritual building blocks are in place, then you got to really look, open up Shulchan Aruch and see, like, what are the things that people tend to rationalize? It's like one of the major goals that Mesil Sharm has for us is to really be honest with ourselves. He says, you know, and he says he's going to focus particularly on the things that are most, you know, that people tend to desire the most. Because when I want it badly enough, we human beings have an incredible capacity to develop theories and rationalize. And he says, you know, to be a clean Jew, to be an Adam Naki, is to really be honest with myself and to, you know, look in the mirror and say, is this right or is this wrong? And he talks about, you know, all these areas of halacha. For instance, I'll just give you one example. The first area he looks at is the area of OPM, other people's money, which is certainly a major topic at the end of Parshas Vayikra in terms of other types of Hashem. And he points out, he says, Chazal say, Rubam begezel, miutam barais, v'chum bavak lashon hara. Most Jews, most people violate gezel. He says, really? Most people pickpocket? Most people are sticking their hands in someone else's cash register? He says, absolutely not. But most people are to'em tam gezel. You get some taste. Soft gezel. Not outright, you know, taking an item that belongs to someone else, you know, just, you know, walking off of someone's car, walking off of someone else's bike, you know, walking off of someone else's wallet. That not. He says, but the halacha has a lot to say about honesty with other people's money. And there are all sorts of soft forms of gezel that are not chumras. Absolute violations of halacha, but we convince ourselves that, that's not so bad. If we want money badly enough, we're going to rationalize more. We're going to convince ourselves that cutting corners with, you know, I'm an employee, I'm not really working an honest hour, but whatever, yeah, I'm getting the job done. If I'm paid by the hour, I got to work an honest hour. It's not just about getting the job done. And he talks about honesty in advertising and honesty being appropriate in the way that we compete. And on all these different sorts of the Nikias. Again, this idea, and then it goes on to other areas of halacha also. Relationships between the genders and how we deal with food and how we deal with Shabbos and particular mitos. He points out things that we're attracted to. If we want something badly enough, we human beings have an incredible capacity to rationalize and to sort of convince ourselves that X, Y, and Z isn't really so bad. When in fact, often the Torah is very clear about what the expectations are. And that capacity to be honest with ourselves and to recognize if I want something badly enough, as a human being, I'll have a tendency to rationalize. I need to be on my guard to really figure out what's really the right thing. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of me? To be honest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standards, how they apply to me, that capacity to not be more heter, to not rationalize, and to just be clear-eyed and say, here's what's right and here's what's wrong. That is one of the great challenges of living well, living in a spiritually ambitious way. And that's one of the great enterprises of seeking to grow over the course. It's not going to happen overnight, over months and years and decades. To grow as an Eved Hashem is to seek to be an Adam Naki, to not be a rationalizer. And that, again, that is the Devar Musar. That is one of the most fundamental aspects of growth, of tshuva, is being honest with ourselves. Where are weaknesses? How do we work psychologically? And how are we going to seek to overcome the desire to rationalize? And that is one of the great lessons of the end of Parshas Vayikra, of the Chatas and the Asham. I both say thank you so much for joining again. I hope you found this productive. Hopefully ideas to share with others and to share with ourselves. And in ways in which we can take Parshas Vayikra to heart with us. Thank you so, so much. Have a gewaldige Shabbos. Hopefully we'll be in touch even before then.